Luke chapter 12 and verse 1. Meanwhile, when a crowd of many thousands had gathered so that they were trampling on one another, Jesus began to speak first to his disciples, saying, "Be on your guard against the yeast of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. There is nothing concealed that will not be disclosed, or hidden that will not be made known. What you have said in the dark will be heard in the daylight, and what you have whispered in the ear in the inner rooms will be proclaimed from the roofs. I tell you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body, and after that can do no more. But I will show you whom you should fear. Fear him who, after killing the body, has power to throw you into hell. Yes, I tell you, fear him. Are not five sparrows sold for 2 pennies? Yet not one of them is forgotten by God. Indeed, the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. I tell you, whoever acknowledges me before men, the Son of Man will also acknowledge him before the angels of God. But he who disowns me before men will be disowned by the angels of God. And everyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man will be forgiven, but anyone who blasphemes against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven. When you are brought before synagogues, rulers, and authorities, do not worry about how you will defend yourselves or what you will say, for the Holy Spirit will teach you at that time what you should say."
David, thank you very much for reading, and just had to add my hello to those that have already happened. Very good to see you this lunchtime. I want to start by suggesting that the way we behave in life is often governed by the opinions of others or our concerns over the opinions of others. This is true in many spheres of life. So as Simon has mentioned, I work as a solicitor, and in my office we're continually fearful of losing clients or spoiling relationships with clients. And so we bend over backwards to make them think that we're giving them a fantastic service by checking our BlackBerries at ridiculous times at night and sending them emails and that kind of thing. Or maybe we're fearful of losing our jobs and or missing out on promotion, and so we're tempted to jockey for position for internally to ensure that we look good in the eyes of those that we're working with. Or maybe we see our children at school fearful of the opinions of their school friends, and so they behave in the right way to try and fit in with the right crowd or dress in the kind of cool in way, whatever it is. And if we're Christians, even in our churches, it's easy to find ourselves acting often out of a concern for what the leadership team or our small group or our friendship group at church thinks of us. And so we try to make sure others can see how well we're playing our part. I think one of the reasons that it's so easy to do this, even as for those who are following the Lord Jesus, is that this is what everyone else does. So even if we don't want to act in this way, it's easy to take on board the attitudes of those around us, in our families, in our workplaces, even in our churches, especially if we're in a minority. For example, as I'm sure most of us who are Christians here today are in a minority in our offices. And so it's easy to take on the kind of respectable religion, respectable middle-class morality of those we spend time with, putting on the right appearance, making sure that other people see what we're doing out of a concern for what they think, because we're concerned about their opinions of us. Now, in the commercial world, there are some superficially positive aspects to this kind of behavior. As I say, fear is a motivating line in my work, I think, as we try and hold on to our clients and give them a good service. And by the way, if you have a solicitor and you don't think he's giving you a good service, I've got my card here today, but that's not the main point of the talk, don't worry. But spiritually, Jesus says in these verses that we're looking at today that that isn't a good place to be. Actually, I think deep down, that's how none of us want to live our lives. We long, don't we, to be free from the continual fear of what others think of us. And if we can relate to any of that this lunchtime, then we're in good company today. Because the religious establishment of Jesus' day, the Pharisees, what you might call the political, the religious establishment, or the teachers of the law, the political and legal establishment, were just the same. The passage that we've just had read to us comes straight after a long list of accusations that Jesus has made against the Pharisees and against the teachers of the law for behaving in just this way, for being overly concerned with what other people thought of them. You might want to glance over to chapter 11, where Jesus has criticized the Pharisees for being concerned with outward show. So, for example, verses 39 to 40 of chapter 11, Jesus says to them, "You Pharisees, you clean the outside of the cup and the dish, but inside you are full of greed and wickedness. You foolish people, did not the one who made the outside make the inside also?" Being concerned with the outside and not the inside. Or verse 43, "Woe to you Pharisees, because you love the most important seats in the synagogues and greetings in the marketplaces." Wanting to look good, but actually not... But actually having that as the priority, wanting other people to think highly of us. Or verse 46, "You experts in the law, woe to you, because you load people down with burdens they can hardly carry, and you yourselves will lift not one finger to help them." Not actually caring for the welfare of others, but wanting to look impressive and be impressive. So in our passage today, Jesus gives a solution to our problem of dealing with fear. And it may come as a surprise to us to see that the solution to dealing with the solution to fearing the opinions of other people is actually fearing God himself. Jesus says the problem isn't actually that we fear others' opinions. That's inevitable. No, it's whose opinion we fear that matters. We should be more concerned with what God thinks than with what others think. And we should do that even if those around us are doing the opposite. So as we come to our passage today, Jesus has been criticizing the Pharisees, the teachers of the law, and he now turns from them to his disciples. In verse 1, well, we're told that the people are trampling on one another, but Jesus begins to speak to his disciples. And he says, "Be on your guard against the yeast of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy." And in today's verses, Jesus warns his disciples against becoming like the Pharisees or the teachers of the law, even though they may feel intimidated by them, intimidated by the religious and legal establishment of their day. And the first thing we see from verses 1 to 3 is Jesus says, "Beware of hypocrisy because God sees everything." Beware of hypocrisy because God sees everything. So verses 1 to 3, carrying on from where I just left off. "Be on your guard against the yeast of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. There is nothing concealed that will not be disclosed, or hidden that will not be made known. What you have said in the dark will be heard in the daylight, and what you have whispered in the ear in the inner rooms will be proclaimed from the roofs." I sometimes think that the relationship between a solicitor and a client is a bit like a swan gliding along a river and someone watching from the bank, because everything from a distance looks calm and serene, and little does the spectator know that beneath the surface there's frantic activity going on to keep the show on the road. And little does the client know that beneath the sort of friendly phone conversation and the reassuring phone call, there's actually frantic activity going on back at base in the solicitor's offices. They're desperately trying to produce the advice on time or whatever it is that's been promised to the client. Well, Jesus says that when it comes to living the Christian life, that attitude is pointless. There's no point in turning up to a prayer meeting with a winning smile and praying an earnest prayer to impress other people, while actually we never pray in private, or ostentatiously giving money away when actually we're stingy with our possessions. Because God sees everything. The whispered conversation to someone that we'd be embarrassed about being repeated in front of our church family. But as far as God's concerned, it's going to be public one day. It will be disclosed, proclaimed from the rooftops on the final day when Jesus comes back to judge. You can't play that kind of game with God. It's pointless even to try. Even when it's tempting because we feel in a minority and that's what everyone else is doing. You see, respectable religion, middle-class morality, they're concerned with outward show, but true Christianity is consistent on the outside and the inside. And actually, that's a wonderfully liberating thing, because it means there's no point in having pretensions in front of other people. The person I present as can be the same as the person I am. So it's worth asking, is there an area of life where I'm being a hypocrite, like the Pharisees? If I talk about loving God or looking after the poor, well, are those statements that are backed up in my private life as well as my public life? God sees everything. Everything will be disclosed. And a question to those here today who aren't followers of the Lord Jesus. Isn't this what you'd like your life to be like in an ideal world? To have consistency between the public and the private. To have a lack of fear over the opinions of others, and therefore being able to present as the person you really are. Well, I want to suggest that that will only happen once we get to know God and learn to fear Him who sees everything and knows everything. Then we will be liberated from the fear of others' opinions and the secrecy that can come with that. So that's the first point. Beware of hypocrisy. God sees what's on the inside. Secondly, Jesus says from verses 4 to 7, don't worry about men. God's opinion matters in eternity. Don't worry about men. God's opinion matters in eternity. So reading from verse 4. I tell you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body and after that can do no more. But I will show you whom you should fear. Fear him who, after the killing of the body, has power to throw you into hell. Yes, I tell you, fear him. Are not 5 sparrows sold for 2 pennies? Yet not one of them is forgotten by God. Indeed, the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. In both small ways and large, Christians can suffer, can't we? Whether it's concern over being left out of the in crowd in the office, or it's your children being concerned about being left out of the in crowd at school, fear of being passed over for promotion because our faces don't quite fit, or much more seriously, fear for our lives if we were Christians living in Iraq or Syria or North Korea at the moment. And it can be very tempting in those circumstances to keep quiet and keep our heads down. I know that temptation myself. A concern just to tone down the amount I speak up about the Lord Jesus Christ in my office, for example. Well, the message from Jesus here is don't worry about that kind of thing. God will look after us. He looks after the sparrows, after all. There's a tree outside my office window here in the city. And believe it or not, it's got blue tits and sparrows flying around it. It's rather a lovely thing in the middle of London. And it seems to me, as I watch these blue tits and sparrows flying around, that they're quite well provided for. God doesn't forget them, Jesus says. But Jesus says we're worth far more than sparrows. So I can speak up for Jesus at the risk of being ridiculed or not fitting in. Or I can do the right thing, even when my colleagues want me to do the wrong thing, or I'm under pressure to do the wrong thing. Because God will look after me ultimately. Even if harm of some kind should come to me, whether it's physical harm, even death, well, even that isn't the ultimate thing to be worried about. That's Jesus' point in verse 4, isn't it? Don't be afraid of those who kill the body and after that can do no more. No, the person whose opinion we should be concerned about is God, who will look after us, but also who has the power to judge those who reject him. We may find the reference to hell in verse 5 surprising and shocking, even coming from Jesus' lips. But Jesus is clear that there is such a place, and so he lovingly warns us to avoid it. If we get our thinking straight, says Jesus, well, then we won't be concerned about the opinions of others, and we'll be more concerned with God's verdict on us. And personally, that's a resolution I've made as I've been preparing this talk, not to be cowed by others or others' opinions, especially those in authority over me in my office, but to trust God and to speak up for Jesus Christ more. And so if the religious authorities or the secular authorities of my day think that I'm a bit odd or worse, well, then actually it won't trouble me too much, because God will look after me. I should say, a bit odd for being a Christian. There may be plenty of other reasons why people think I'm a bit odd, but that's not the main point today either. If you're here this lunchtime not following the Lord Jesus, it's great to have you here. And can I gently ask you, are you fearing the right person in your life? Actually, ultimately, it's God whose opinion you should be concerned about. And that puts the opinions of colleagues or clients, family members even, into perspective. And if you're not sure that there is a God to have an opinion of you, well, can I just encourage you to look at the evidence, because it's very strong, actually, once you look into it. So that's the second point. Don't worry about men. God's opinion matters in eternity. And then thirdly and finally, stick up for Jesus and he'll stick up for us. Stick up for Jesus and he'll stick up for us. That's verses 8 to 12. Let's read them. I tell you, whoever acknowledges me before men, the Son of Man will also acknowledge him before the angels of God. But he who disowns me before men will be disowned before the angels of God. And everyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man will be forgiven, but anyone who blasphemes against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven. When you are brought before synagogues, rulers, and authorities, do not worry about how you will defend yourselves or what you will say, for the Holy Spirit will teach you at that time what you should say. What Jesus says here is that there is a day we should be much more concerned about than the present, when we will be brought before him as our judge. That little phrase in verses 8 and 10, the Son of Man, that's Jesus talking about himself coming as judge. And that is the day we should be concerned about. Actually, if there's a colleague who doesn't think highly of me, even if I'm in physical danger, well, in a sense, that isn't the end of the world. But there will be a future day when I certainly don't want to be on the wrong side. And the good news is that if I acknowledge Jesus and publicly trust him, then he will vouch for me on that day and I'll be safe from the judgment to come, because he's died for me so that I can be forgiven and I've trusted in his death in my place. Whereas if we don't acknowledge Jesus in public, well, then we won't be safe. Can I just say, it may be that there are some here who are following Jesus and they're worried, they've committed the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit that's talked about in verse 10. It talks about anyone who blasphemes against the Holy Spirit. Well, if you're worried about that and you are a follower of the Lord Jesus, then can I reassure you that you haven't committed that sin, because blasphemy against the Holy Spirit is failing to trust in Jesus Christ. So, it's just worth every so often taking a step back from the rush of life and remembering eternity, the fact that there will be a judgment day. And that should mean we'll become less concerned about fitting in with other people's expectations and more concerned with God's opinion of us, his verdict on us on that last and final day. And therefore, if we do that, we'll be able to live liberated lives, free from the tyranny of others' opinions. So, how can I deal with fear? How can I be free from fear? Well, by fearing the one I really should fear, God himself. Not a craven, nervous fear, but a right recognition that he is the one whose opinion of me ultimately matters. And therefore, acknowledging that I don't need to fit into the expectations of those around me. Those around me who want to live by their rules of outward show and morality. No, I can be free from that by remembering God, who sees everything I do and has power even beyond the grave, and in trusting Jesus, who will stand for me, stick up for me on that last day as I stick up for him. Shall we pray for God's help to do that more and more as we close? Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you that there is freedom in following you and fearing you, as it releases us from the expectations of others. Please help us to do that more and more, we pray, especially in our offices, so that we live bolder lives for you and the Lord Jesus, and more concerned with your opinion and less with that of others. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.